Let's hear how the new healthcare law has changed the way people with serious illness are covered and get care. Joining us is Kirsten Sloan, Senior Policy Director for the American Cancer Society's Cancer Action Network. Kirsten, welcome.
Thank you.
So what does the Affordable Care Act do for people who have a disease like cancer? I mean, I guess it's not chronic, but it could be fatal or it could be in remission, in which case you still have a lot of doctor visits and vigilance to be concerned with.
Well, the most important thing the Affordable Care Act does is it actually provides people with cancer access to insurance. Prior to the enactment of the ACA, if you had cancer, which was considered a pre-existing condition, insurance companies might drop you. They may impose lifetime or annual limits on the cost of your care. And they may also, at the time, they could also decide not to offer you coverage. So the fact that we now have a law that eliminates a lot of these discriminatory insurance practices means that people with cancer actually have access to affordable health insurance. And that's critical.
And knowing that you are covered means that suddenly there's an incentive to actually get mammograms and to do screenings that would catch cancer early.
That's right. And in fact, there's also a financial incentive built into the law. So things like mammography screening are provided with no copays. So what was once a financial barrier has now been eliminated.
We've seen that states have, for political reasons or other reasons, you know, modified the way the ACA is implemented. I'm thinking of the Medicaid extension. What regarding cancer would affect a coverage model state to state?
Well, right now you've got over 30 states that have expanded Medicaid, which means that a low-income person now has access to coverage that they didn't have before. So if you're that woman with breast cancer or you're the woman who has found a lump and you're worried that you have breast cancer, you now have the ability to go to a doctor and get that checked out, to get that screening mammogram, potentially if needed to get that biopsy. Unfortunately, we hear every day from women in states that haven't expanded Medicaid, and their income is too high to qualify them for the standard Medicaid program, but too low for them to be able to afford insurance. And so they're falling into this gap, and unfortunately, there are very few options for them. There is one program, and it's called the Breast and Cervical Cancer Screening Program. It was created back in 1990, and it has now become a lifeline for women in states where Medicaid has not been expanded. And this program provides breast and cervical cancer screening.
And how's your experience been?
I'm very fortunate. I am a six-month breast cancer survivor. My breast cancer was caught very early through an annual mammogram, so I'm a great proponent now of mammography screening. I have good coverage. I also have the ability to take time off from work when needed. And I think when you're thinking about the financial consequences of cancer, we automatically think about costs like premiums, copays, and deductibles, all of the costs that are associated with your care. But there are some additional costs as well, and that things like drugs that may not be covered on your plan's formulary or experimental treatments that may not be covered. And then there are also non-medical considerations, and this is particularly critical for low-income women, women who may need childcare if they have to go to a doctor's appointment.
Right.
Women who work for companies that may or organizations that may not be as generous as the American Cancer Society is with time off or flexibility.
All right. Kirsten Sloan, Senior Policy Director for the American Cancer Society's Cancer Action Network and also a six-month survivor of breast cancer. Kirsten, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.